Okay, good. Oh, my worst nightmares were about to come true. Okay, all right. Well, thank you. Well, I was telling Cheryl I was a little nervous about teaching tonight, so we'll just see how it goes. And I would like to begin this evening. Thank you, loud and clear. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Kathy. I can certainly use that right now. I would like to begin this evening with a prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you for these sweet people, these sweet women that are trying to console me as I teach this class tonight. Trying to love me and comfort me. I can feel it. I can feel my heart. I can feel coming from my heart. And that's where I want to come from all the time. Because I know that when I come from my heart, I am one with you. And I'm very grateful for that. Amen. Okay. I believe we are Ephesians chapter 5. Believe we're ready to begin verse is 15 through 20. It's funny because I'm not as quite as confident as some, so the top of 345 correct. I know Jacqueline is now my sister, my baby sister, is now teaching with the Holy Spirit, and she doesn't prepare for any classes. And typically, when I'm teaching this class with her, I don't prepare either. And we seem to play off one another, and it all seems to go well. But I did read what I thought we'd be going over tonight in a little bit of preparation. And I read it earlier in the week when I found out that in fact I was going to be teaching. And it's funny because tonight when I got home, I didn't have a whole lot of time, but I read it again. And it's amazing how different it read tonight than when I read it earlier. And part of that is because of my experiences. Some of my experiences that I've had this week have really made this reading exactly what I need. And of course, that's a way seeing. When you're on the path, that's the way life seems to go. Let me get the words out. So this is what we're reading, particularly chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 is exactly what I'm needing. So, but we'll start where we left off, and like I say, that's at top of 345, Ephesians verses 15 through 20. So it says, be grateful for your truth. Be grateful for your brothers who reflect truth to you through the truth of what they are. Cling to them and love them in joy and gratitude for truth. teach them who they are through your love for them. For it is through you that they experience, just as you experience through them. So it is through you that they will see their truth, just as you have discovered your truth in them. Of course, that's what I was feeling when Kathy and Cheryl were being so sweet as we were coming on the air and encouraging me here. I just felt I felt that love. Verse 21, accept one another in love and in the understanding of Christ. Treat your brother as you know he is with a capital I. Treat your brother as you know he is, and who he is will be reflected back upon you. Yeah, I've had a personal experience. I was wondering how to deal with whether to, you know, to go in and confront the experience and confront the situation and or what. And of course, then I sat down here and said, treat your brother as you know he is. So, you know. And who he is will be reflected back to you. So, once again, the more I read NTI, the more it says to me over and over and over again that everything is only about forgiveness and not forgiveness in, you know, the typical connotations of forgiveness, in that, you know, you did something and I'm going to try and overlook it, but in the connotation of if you're seeing something wrong, then if you're experiencing something that you've determined is wrong, then you're just seeing it wrong. It's just, you know, it's just a misperception. So you need to look at it. In fact, I wrote down something. I read this. Forgiveness doesn't precede specifics and treat them as whole units in and of themselves. That closes the mind to healing. So, yeah, when we have these things that come up in our life and you're going, why are they doing that? Why are they acting like that? It's, you know, I'm not treating my brother as I know he is with a capital I. I'm treating him as I'm perceiving him. And the forgiveness principle says you're misperceiving. So what is the solution then? The simple solution is to realize that you're misperceiving and to treat your brother as you know the truth in him is, to be who he really is, which is the Christ, which is doing the very best he can do. And that's going to be reflected back to you. So the real answer is, you know, stop looking for ways to correct this perceived specific, and just and and treat my brother as I know he really is. So I'll read verse 21 again and see if it makes sense in that context. Accept one another in love and in the understanding of the Christ. Treat your brother as you know he is, and who he is will be reflected back upon you. Sweet. Okay, verse 22 through 33 says, look on one another and know you look on yourself. You see what you have chosen to see, and it is reflected back to you in love. Love what you see, even if it does not seem loving, for it is witness to the process that is you. Of course, the process that it's talking about is that process of undoing. It's the undoing of the constructs that we've made. You know, the constructive. If she doesn't act exactly like I think she ought to be acting, then there's something wrong. Then there's something wrong with her, and I don't know why she's acting like that. But, you know, it's all the constructs we have. Here's how she should be reacting when I haven't seen her for so long. And here, you know, This should be happening, and that's, you know, all the expectations. And so the process that's being talked about here is that process of letting go all of those concepts, so we can truly be present. So that we're available to accept the truth as it's given. So accept your truth by accepting your process in gratitude. Thank God that I even know that there's constructs to be let go of. Then I know that I've made up all these false constructs about who a partner is supposed to be, or who a daughter is supposed to be, or what neighbors are supposed to do for one another, or what employees are supposed to do, what, you know, supposed to do. Oh my God. And people getting mad over nothing. I mean, some of these things that have happened this week I'm overwhelmed with the experiences that have come up with people just getting mad about nothing. And seriously mad. You know, oh, we're not getting married anymore. Oh, you know, I mean, just bizarro stuff. And you're thinking, you know, it's all a construct of what your expectations of what family should be, of what how people should act. And thank God that I know that it's just a construct, and I know it's something that I'm ready to let go of. I'm ready to no longer let these constructs tell me who I am and who my brother is and make me feel and react in a certain way. All right, so accept your truth by accepting your process in gratitude. Surrender to what is and what has always been. Love the Christ body that is yourself and be grateful to it for what it is. Through love, the body knows love. And through the knowledge of love, it comes to know itself. And of course, where it's talking about the Christ body and the body knows love, through love, the body knows love. It's talking about content. It's talking about what we are in our wholeness, the content of a book, the wholeness of the book. I'm never upset for the reason I think. Exactly, Kathy. And sometimes that's when you see these folks upset, you just realize that they aren't upset for the reason they think, and they probably haven't had any of the training that I've had that will help me get to the bottom of what my true upset is, which is misidentification always. But yeah, they don't even have these tools. They don't have Byron Katie's tools. They don't have the inquiry tools. I'm just real grateful that that they're there for me, and I've recognized the value of them. So I do get to use them, and I get to watch those concepts melt away, and for both for me and for my brother, I can let what the seeming grievance is go when I realize it's just a misconcept, it's a construct that I've made up. Okay, so where are we? Okay, we're getting ready to start Ephesians chapter 6, down there towards the bottom of 345, verse 1 through 4. Listen to me and what I teach you now. I am the holy voice of wisdom, and I teach you your process of forgiveness. Yeah, so our process of forgiveness, that's the process of undoing, the process of giving up the constructs, the process of rest, accept, and trust when we're immediately confronted by these things and thrown for a loss because they're not meeting our expectations. So rest in it for a minute. Give it up for just a second, what your construct might be. Except that there's an intuition, a part of yourself that knows, that has privy to all the information in the world, all the information in the universe, all the information that ever is, and it's right there. You have privy to that. Accept that and trust that you've just made yourself available to that. So that's one way to accept your process of forgiveness, and the other we've talked about is the inquiries and stuff. So it says, listen to me and what I teach you now. I am the holy voice of wisdom. Oh my God, the holy voice of wisdom. And I teach you your process for forgiveness. As you think, you experience. It is through your thinking that illusion is made. It is through awareness of thought that you see what I teach. It is through releasing thought that illusion is let go. So that releasing of thought, is once again, it's the process we're talking about letting these disappointments or these judgments that come up or these expectations, anything that's not sitting right with us, to turn that over to this process of inquiry, the process, if we need to, and a lot of us, like myself, we need to until we don't. We say, oh, well, I know that's a construct, but turn that over to that process and get down with it and look at it, and so that we can really see that everything's going through this filter of the way things, quote unquote, should be, and that that underlying those underlying beliefs have tainted our whole world and made the illusion that we think we're experiencing. And it is through this awareness that those illusions can be released, they can be let go. And the Holy Spirit says, this is the process of awakening, the process of thinking of believing these false beliefs, letting those beliefs that have carried us through our life erroneously, letting those go is the process of awakening. I was reading in A Course of Love. I was trying to find it right before the class and couldn't, but in that book, the Holy Spirit says, I was going to say it much better than I'm going to say it, something like, you know, we are all one, and that's why we can only project or extend, because I mean, if you think about it, that makes all the sense in the world. We're one, so if we're one, if we're only one, then we have to project everything out so that we can see it outside of ourselves. Or if we're one, the other alternative is to extend the love that we know that we are, and that's reflected back to us. And that's back there in verse 21. Treat your brother as you know he is, and who he is will be reflected back to you. Treat your brother as you've misconstructed yourself, misunderstood yourself, misidentified yourself, and you're going to see a projection. Not of the truth, but a projection of the illusion. So Holy Spirit, in this last sentence on this page, it says, this is the process of awakening. As you let me, I take your hand and head you through this process now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh my God, thank you. Everything is in accordance and according to your own willingness. Yes, as you say yes to the Holy Spirit, that is your willingness. Because there is only two choices. There's a choice for the Holy Spirit or ego. And I know we've talked about this before. Everyone thinks there's all these choices in the world. No, they really come down to two choices. Have you chosen with the Holy Spirit, with the heart, or have you chosen with the ego, with the mind that doesn't perceive that does perceive the specifics and treats the specifics as whole units. So, your willingness is the willingness to see with Holy Spirit eyes. It is the willingness to watch your mind and see only with the Holy Spirit eyes. And to stay in that frame of mind. And you can hear when it's off. I mean, you can hear it. I can hear it. If I'm out on the golf course and I'm getting fussy because somebody's walking around behind me, you know, oh my God, get over yourself. And it's out of step with the love of who I am. So, you know, I fall into that projection mode instead of that extension mode. And the Lord knows I don't want to be projecting. That's just you're all of a sudden you're experiencing a pretty horrific world when you're in that projection mode. What is Cheryl saying here? Sincere willingness allows grace to come forward. Absolutely. And that's exactly what this is saying. That the Holy Spirit is saying, this is the process of awakening, and as you let me, I take your hand and head you through this process now. Everything is according to your own willingness. In your willingness, the grace allows the grace to come forward. In your willingness, you know that there's only the choice for the Holy Spirit or the ego, and really there's only the choice for the Holy Spirit. And as you see everything through Holy Spirit eyes, and you hear only through Holy Spirit ears, and you can hear when it's off, and you can hear when you're not in your true self. And some of us are fortunate enough to have friends that can help us with that too. I know I have a friend, Sarah St. Clair. She's just a lovely person, and when she's around, you know, you say things like you say every day, all day long, and when they're coming out of your mouth, you can just hear how they're off. You can just hear it through her ears. You can hear it through the Holy Spirit ears, and that's what this is calling us to do. It's you know, to stay in that place when you're hearing when it's off, when it's when it just doesn't ring true. True to the Holy Spirit, to the holiness in you, to the wholeness in you. All right, let me move on here. All right, so we're at verse 5 through 8, Ephesians chapter 6, page 346. Awakening comes from the heart, so let the heart lead in all things. The mind is the great receiver, but with the heart, sort through that which is received. Let the heart and the mind together give to spirit, so that the deliverer receives always through the heart. Let the heart be the test of all that is delivered, and you shall deliver only from the heart. So, yeah, let the heart, the Holy Spirit, and the mind, which is what does the choosing, so the choice for the Holy Spirit, give to the Spirit. So that the deliverer, which is you, always through the heart. So the deliverer receives always through the heart. So when you break those down, it kind of gets circulatory, but that's it. The Holy Spirit and the choice for the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about here. So, and this first part of this section, it said something like, awakening comes from the heart, so let the heart lead in all things. So that's what we're, you know, and sometimes getting out of your head and into your heart, if we're not staying there all the time, um, these practices of morning meditation and getting started on the right foot are really a good way to start. What's Kathy saying? Okay, good point though. Check with my feelings. They are loving or not. Yeah. We've got that. Thank you, Kathy. We got that barometer in there. So, you know, anything and everything comes up is the barometer. Have I misperceived this because it's not feeling the way I want it to? So yeah, everything's a barometer. Check your feelings. Barometer was in mind, I said it too. Yeah, thanks. Good. Yeah. I think that was on the secrets. That was really one of the biggest things that I got from that whole secrets deal is that, yeah, the Holy Spirit's always trying to communicate, because that's the truth of who you are. Of course, the ego's always trying to communicate too, because that's the illusion of who you are. So if we let everything be about our spiritual unfoldment, then we can use everything that comes to us. You know, we can use that statement that I made earlier. I was telling you about everything is either extension or projection. So, you know, I'm feeling good about that. Good. I'm in my joy. I'm with the divine. I'm in my heart. I'm full of love. This doesn't feel right. Oh, then there's a misperception. You are misidentified, or you're misidentifying, or there wouldn't be a problem. I think it's that simple. Thank you. Okay. All right. Verse 9. Give as you would receive. Yeah, the 8. Okay, give as you receive. Let this reminder guide your decision to deliver through the heart. For as you give, you shall receive. And ACIM says that you receive in exact proportion to that which you give. Which is pretty mind-blowing. In the process, verse 9, it's sentence 4. In the process of God, there is no favoritism. The process is always the same. It is the process of freedom. Through freedom, receiving is requested by that which you give. Spirit is the great deliverer. I ask you to remember this. You are the free son of God. Coercion can have no influence over you. You may decide what you want, ask for what you want, and you will receive in kind. Look, therefore, in your heart. Know what you truly want before you ask. In this way, you only receive blessings upon your true desire, which is of God. Yeah, so once again, it's talking about this process of freedom, the process of releasing our constructs of what should be, or our judgments, our grievances, those, our expectations. And I read something really interesting the other day in a message. It was entitled Message from the Holy Spirit. It was in David Hoffmeister's Unwind Your Heart. Unwind Your Mind. Okay. All right. So it says, I will work with your beliefs. That's a big one. It's going to work. It's going to work. Holy Spirit's going to work with our beliefs, because that's all we are, is beliefs. I will work with your beliefs and guide you step by step as you unwind your mind from the many false concepts you believe keep you safe and make you happy. Only the release of these false beliefs will bring you true happiness and lasting peace. So once again, our freedom comes through letting these erroneous, false, mind-controlling, experience-controlling, covering the veil filters only being able to step through those and let those go, step through them or work through them with inquiry or Byron Katie, and letting these concepts and constructs go is the only chance that we have a true happiness and lasting peace. Yeah, because otherwise our peace is going to be at best intermittent. And if it's intermittent peace, it sure can't be true happiness. So, back to the text here. It says, every thought taken up as desire is prayer. All prayer is answered through God, just as you have asked. Be mindful, therefore, of that which you ask. Watch yourself and know yourself. I'm sorry. Watch yourself and know yourself, with capital S, as you watch. I think the Course says something like, no truer statement is there that there's no idle thoughts, because all thoughts are prayers of desire. Desire of prayers, however you want to say it. Prayers of desire, I guess. Yeah, because our desires are always, I mean, we don't have to speak the words. They may have more power. The spoken word may have more power, but if your thoughts are powerful, your thoughts have created, I mean, they've created what seems to be a world here. Be mindful, therefore, of that which you ask. So, because you're always asking. You're always asking to see with the Holy Spirit or with the ego. You're always asking your brother or yourself to live up to unrealistic expectations. Or so you're either projecting or you're extending. So your desires are always being fulfilled, depending on if you're in your right frame of mind. Are they going to be is how they're going to be fulfilled? If we're in our wrong frame of mind, if we're not being if we're not coming from the perspective of our heart, of extension of that heart, we're not going to be happy with the reflections that we're experiencing. So verse 19 and 20 says, pray also for your brothers in the true desire of your heart. For as you ask for them, you receive. All that you ask is given unto you. And that's and how could it be any other way? Because your heart's desire for your brother would have to be given to you. I don't know how else to say it. It's just it couldn't be any other way. But because all there is projection or extension. Your sight is your feedback on your prayers. So you're going to know whether you projected or extended from your heart or projected because you're going to see it reflected in your world. That's what that sentence is saying. You shall know by what you see what you've been asking for. There's no escape from it, folks. That's what the ACIM was talking about with you receive an exact proportion. So this says your sight is your feedback on your prayers. You shall know by what you see what you've been asking for. If you are not joyous because of what you see, ask of God differently by remembering who you are and how you ask. And that's a miracle. When we ask to see things differently, we've set ourselves up for the miracle. When we know that we've seen things that aren't setting well with us, that this should be, we come from, well, this should be different, she shouldn't be doing that, I can't believe that they said that, oh my God, they're mad about that. We can simply say, God, I want to see this differently. Now we've opened our mind up to the possibility of a different experience and a different scenario. Before, when we were just there in our wrong mind projecting, there, the possibilities are real limited. Now, when we have that barometer and we go, something's not right here. And what's not right is it has to be a misperception somewhere on my part. Okay, so I'm not getting it. So let me open this up to the miracle. God, let me see this differently. I know who you are. I know who my brother is, so there has to be a misperception here. Next sentence says, always you receive as you have asked. Watch therefore what it is that you ask. Always watch your mind, because you're always asking. Blessings upon you. In order with your choice, blessings that are known shall be received. How sweet. Yeah, I've had some experiences this week, and I won't tell you all the gory details of my life, but yeah, some folks are just not quite. Things aren't just what I thought they should be. And I've just had these judgments that I needed to go in and just, you know, just say so. You know, what the heck's going on here? But this rereading this Ephesians chapters 5 and 6 here certainly has shown me that I can only teach them who they are is through my love for them. Yeah, that verse 21, accept one another in love and in the understanding of the Christ. Treat your brother as you know he is, and who he is will be reflected back to you. How sweet. How perfect. It's the only way it can be. So, all right. So, how appropriate, the first sentence you will read in a minute. Okay, let's see. So, we're ready to start Holy Spirit's interpretation of Philippians. I'm sure I said that wrong. Chapter 1. Empty your mind now of all you thought was true. Yes, you're exactly right. Accept the grace and peace of God as your true inheritance. So, see, you can see that this is setting us up for that forgiveness principle again. Like I said, the NTI over and over and over gives us the forgiveness principle, and that basically that forgiveness principle is that if you're perceiving in specifics and you treat them as whole units in and of themselves, you're misperceiving, that you've closed your mind to healing. So empty your mind of all you thought was true. Empty your mind of, because that's what we do. We pull these specifics out. You know, she shouldn't have acted like that. And said, that's who she is, you know. That's just who she is. Every time I see her, she's that way. I know one better to go around here because that's, you know, I mean, we've taken this, and yeah, it can be repeated more than once, but we're projecting, and we're no longer seeing with our heart, with the Holy Spirit. So this is saying with that empty mind, that you can accept the grace and peace of God and you have the opportunity to release those false beliefs you have the opportunity for true happiness and lasting peace if you can go in to any given situation, any experience you're about to have with your brother, and not have your mind made up as to who they are, for it to be a clean, fresh slate every time you see somebody you see every day. If you can go in and there's no past, in fact, that's where in Ephesians chapter 5, choose not to experience the past again. That's what we do. We keep living the past over and over and projecting it to the future. So this is saying, you know, again, empty your mind of all you thought was true, all you think it's true about your brother. Let all that go. And have a real experience. have a real experience of extension of who you are, not projection of what you thought somebody was. Have that experience. Have that sweet experience. That true experience. That love in your heart that just bubbles up. I pray with you means I know who you are and I know who I am and I know what we are together. I pray for you means I know we are not separate but connected through God, which is mind and spirit. I pray for you means I recognize our oneness and I recognize as I ask for you, I too shall receive. I pray for you is a statement of faith that all you see and sense and experience is not all there is. It is a statement of realization that effect is a result of intent, and intent can be affected by you. Yeah, so once again, if we can give as we receive, won't be one and the same. If our intent is to go into any given situation with our brother, with a heart wide open and not have a predetermined mind of who they are, but allow them to be the Christ, and if I'm not hearing the Christ, to know that that's just a barometer to say, well, wait a minute. There's another way of experiencing this. To open it up to the miracle. To know that it's a misperception because all we can do is extend or project. That's our only two choices. Only two choices to be with the Holy Spirit or the ego. There's only two thought systems and that's it. To know that I'm one with the Holy Spirit, that that's the truth of who I am, or participate in the illusion, of the false illusion, which is the ego. This intent is kind of like Regina's, gosh, forgotten the word, our divine idea. You know, mine was stepping through the fear, the divine intent that we hold out in front of us, aspiration. Thank you so much. Yes, our divine aspiration. So, yeah. So if we can go into a scenario and be determined to not well, this next sentence says it. So I'll read it real quick. There are no chains on mind or spirit. Therefore, there is nothing to fear. Likewise, there is no limits. Yeah. So. If we can go in with any situation with an open, free mind, we can really live life. I think I've said plenty for this evening. I really appreciate, what is my purpose exactly, Kathy? Thank you. Yes, go into any scenario, knowing what my purpose is, what my aspiration is, to be the love that I truly am. Yeah, living life that way. What a way to live. It's pretty exciting. Okay, once again, thank you, thank you. Thank Thanks, Marge. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for all of your support tonight. I wish I was out there with you too, Regina. Lavita. All right. Well, I'll hand it over to Regina and Jacqueline and Cheryl. And again, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me grow with NTI for sure. It was a great experience. I love you all, and I'm very grateful.